Good morning.
Uh-oh.
Good morning.
Somebody, I hear you guys out there.
He's like, Mommy, go rescue me.
Oh, I hear you.
Out you go.
It's in case their brain fails, I have these.
Oh.
No, these are just, I wanted to find some things in songs that I wasn't going to play necessarily. Okay. Ta-da.
Oh.
Good morning.
Everything's jumping. It is a good morning. And it's very interesting that the first song, the last two lines, it was Romans 8:28.
Romans 8:28. I thought about things.
Oh, you're right. So good.
Right off the bat, we're going to be...
Is that your verse?
That's what we're doing.
Uh-huh.
8:28.
How fun is that?
Out of the Old Testament, sort of. If God's word is true, then they have to live it just like we do, but they didn't know they were living it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, come on. Here we go. It is for good. This is all. You know, all we know that all things work together for good. It is for good. Not was for good, will be for good, might be for good.
Mm.
It is for good. See? So I did that, and then it says, and it's also because it's for those who are called according to his purpose. So we are called.
Mm.
So that's my title and subtitle and where we're going with this thing. And we're going to look at some people that were called in the Old Testament.
Okay.
But sometimes they weren't sure that they wanted to be called.
Same, right?
They didn't always
sometimes.
Know. So, but there are some key issues. I shouldn't say issues. There are going to be five ideas that I'm going to summarize this at the end. And each piece has an idea that kind of covers Romans 8:28. So I'm not going to talk so much about 8:28 is why we don't think of it in daily living.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I'm going to start off with one of my favorite things, music. And it's like, when I started going through my music, it's like I found millions of things that I could use. Because I have a pretty extensive collection of stuff, and it's all hidden in my iTunes. So you don't see that I have hundreds of things. And, although I still have a few of them on CDs, because I can listen to them in the car. I bought a portable stereo thing to play CDs in the car. New cars don't have CD players, and I have CDs, I don't want to throw them away, so I bought a little player for it so I can listen to it through my USB in my car. And we can listen to books and all sorts of stuff that we like, that we own, from the days when we had a CD player in the car. So, but this is, before you even get into Romans 8:28, you got to think about this.
I haven't got the song yet in my head.
We'll come to you real quick.
Cause there is one thing that I
start to worry now? Why start to worry now?
God is control. That's the main theme that I wanted to get out of that. But she says somewhere around the second verse or so, says there's a bottom line across all the ages. The bottom line. And it, the start, the bottom line started because God's got to be in control. Says God created the heavens and the earth, the beginning of the line. Jesus continues it. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
Yep.
He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. There's a bottom line.
Yes.
Everything from beginning to middle. And if you read Revelation, the end, He's there. Because I am the beginning. I am the Alpha and the Omega. He's everything. It's the bottom line. There's nothing more important than what's above that line. Because it's the bottom. And the bottom is perfect.
Right.
So, with that, but without God in control, Romans 8:28 makes no sense.
That's a true statement. Yep.
If He's not in control, how can He work all things together?
Right.
We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. It's not past or future, it's the here and now. All the things that happen to us have a purpose. There's been tons of stuff that's been coming up in this, Dreams in the Desert. But this morning? Yeah. The difficulties of life. Things have to happen all the time that work together for good. Do we recognize it? It says, there is no high hill but beside some deep valley.
Right.
There is no birth without a pain. Because we can't get to the places that God wants us to be unless we go through some difficulties, which He said we're supposed to go through sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
There is some suffering that we should go through because He suffered. And what He goes through, we're supposed to experience so we can handle the things that He continues to give to us. That's part of the training.
Mm-hmm.
All things work together for good. It's not just to warn you that bad things are coming or difficult things are coming, but I have a training plan. all things, everything, I use it all. Everything, you know, that hammer that just hit you wasn't an accident. That chisel that chipped a piece off of you was not an accident. The crack that you feel is not an accident. It's the beginning of taking things off so we can put new things in. All things are, these are called. We are called. All things work together to those who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. He has a purpose. He's in charge. And it's an amazing thing to me that we forget. We forget. How many times have we complained?
Mm-hmm. What? Never.
Listen.
Why did you do that, God?
We know the answer. You're training me, aren't you? Mm. You're training me. Why am I missing the boat? Like the apostles. They were in the boat several times. If they had missed the boat, interesting expression, they would have missed the lesson. Mm. The difficulty was necessary to get them to the next stage in their development, even though they didn't know it. They were still confused after they got on the boat.
Weren't they? Amen.
And sometimes we get out of the boat and we can't figure out why we went through the boat. There was an easier way. God didn't want us to go the easy way. You can go around a hill. It's flat, but we have to go up the hill. It's hard.
Yeah.
Road less traveled.
Rivers are crooked because they wind and meander around the difficulties. Mm-hmm. We are not supposed to be rivers. We're not supposed to be rivers. There's an example. Becky showed me a newspaper article about Eric Little. You know who Eric Little is? Mm-hmm. Scottish missionary. But that's not why he's famous to some people. He's an Olympic champion.
Oh, yeah, that guy, yes.
The guy who runs with his nose up in the air.
Yeah.
He had the weirdest, but what makes him amazing to me is that he made the Olympic team for the United Kingdom, and when he saw the schedule events, the event that he had wanted to run, which was his best event, the 100 meters, was on a Sunday. And he was not going to go on the Lord's Day and do his event. So you know what he did? He didn't bail out of the team. He trained for a new event that he had never done before. He trained for the 400 meters. Never done it, but that's what he chose to run because that was on the day he could run. He ran it, won the gold medal, and set a world record at the same time in an event that he wasn't supposed to be doing. So all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He's a missionary. He died in the Japanese internment camp in China. Nobody knows that either.
I forgot that part, yeah.
Eric Little did?
Eric Little, yeah. He was in China. He was a missionary in China.
Oh my God.
During World War II.
I didn't know that.
And the Japanese had a camp for civilians, mostly businessmen and missionaries. He died of a brain tumor. But he was, even in the camp, he was ministering to people around him. He didn't stop being a missionary. He just was a missionary to missionaries.
Right.
Eric Little. I like. That was a very important movie to a lot of people because.
Chariots of Fire.
Chariots of Fire, yeah. But some people liked it because the music was really cool. It had good music. Mm-hmm. And some people liked the athletics. Mm-hmm. Some people didn't like the missionary part of it. Well, we have people who don't like Christians.
What?
Not liking a Christian is not something brand new. The movie was made in 1981.
Right.
They were after us then. They've always been after us. So, but Romans 8:20, it's a difficult thing. So I'm going to show you some other people that had interesting experiences with God working all things for good to those who love God. Sometimes they didn't even know the will of God yet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But God knew it. It's very interesting.
Right.
So, Genesis 6:8. Who's here? No. Noah. He's going to be my first person that's going to be having a difficult time. Right? As then the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I'm disgusted with myself. I'm sorry I made man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, not his family. His family benefited from Noah.
Right.
It says, and God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God. Part of all those good things are God brought his family with him.
Right.
There were seven people that didn't deserve the ark. God only noticed Noah. How important are you where you are? Are you a Noah that needs to be dragging some people along with you? All things work together. The flood was worldwide. Out of the whole world, eight people. And only one of them was the one that found grace. The other seven found mercy. Difference. It says Noah found grace. By not getting what they deserved, they found mercy. Because that's what mercy is about. Not getting things you do deserve, and grace is getting some of those things that are surprises, that are beyond your expectations. You had to work hard for it, though. How was that to build an ark? And it's 450 feet long. And even though he had a crew of seven other people that could help him, that's most times it takes thousands to build a ship that size, especially if it's out of wood. But he did it because God said, you're going to build me an ark. What's in it? What's an ark?
Right.
It's a big boat.
What's
a
right
boat?
Anyway.
We're going to have a flood. What's a flood? There's a whole bunch of firsts.
Right.
New things. And they're going to have all these animals with you. In pairs and some in groups of seven. And says, well, how are they going to get here? That's not your problem. You're going to build an ark. He wasn't responsible for getting them. He only had to carry them and feed them and stuff. All things work together for good to those who love God.
Right.
Those who are called according to his purpose. Noah had a calling. It was a tough calling.
Mm-hmm.
Get out into the world again and you're stuck with your family. Well, you know, it's what you are. It's who you have with you. But he was stuck for a long time before there was going to be other people. So, it's an interesting story, don't you think? But there's a song for this one too, but I want to leave, this one you're going to hear, a couple of them you're not going to hear. But this one is, I found it was perfect. Praise him in the storm. Do we have Noah in the storm?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have storms? How do they compare to Noah's? Who has God chosen to go with you through that storm?
Ooh.
That's your family. It may not be real family, maybe the chosen family that God has given you. Are they friendly? Are they nice? How about, do they complain about the chores on the ark?
Mm-hmm.
Feeding the animals, cleaning the poop, scraping everything up? It's a messy place. It's a smelly place. But let's see if we can do this one. But there's a key set of words in this song too, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen. And it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. God who gives and takes away.
It's amazing to me how often
yeah.
people are singing, they're talking, and they're saying the things, and the rest of us are listening to the things, and we don't get it. We like the song, but really, part of that song is singing to Noah. Because we have times where we're just Noah. We're floating around and we don't know what's happening, and God's in control, because that's where we started. God's in control. Because we forget that. We all have bits and pieces of the story, but we need to retain the story in our current memory, not in storage.
Right.
You know, we have a computer, we become computerized. We have selective memories, we have storage, we have all sorts of stuff. But we have to have daily memory, daily music, reminders. This is the encouragement. Noah went through a storm, unlike any other storm that ever existed. And he came out the other side, fine. His children, not so much. But the world started over again with that. Your world can start over again with what you do. How's it going to start? So, we definitely have an interesting thing. We know that God causes all these things to work together for those who love God. How loving was Noah? We don't know. But God knew. It says God saw Noah and found grace.
Right.
He found grace. So there is something there. And just... Eto. There's a lot of people. I had a hard time sorting through, but Genesis 50:20 tells Joseph. Did he have a difficult time?
Oh yeah.
You know, he was a kind of abandoned, almost killed by his brothers.
Yeah.
His father didn't understand anything that happened to him. Even at the end, I'm not sure he actually understood the whole mess. But it didn't matter. It was the brothers. But as for you, you thought evil against me. This is at the end.
Right.
But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. So, is he showing grace? He could have, from his position, as a man number two in charge of Egypt, he could have just said, you guys were mean and nasty to the number two guy in Egypt. And done away with him if he was just a regular guy. Get revenge. He had the opportunity. He could justify it. In fact, he didn't have to justify it. He could just do it. Who's going to argue with him? Not the Pharaoh, because he says, you can do everything except... But here he is. You guys were mean to me. What was he doing? What was Joseph doing that was so terrible? He was revealing prophetically his dreams.
Right.
God gave him dreams. This wasn't his own creation.
Right.
Whether he was wise or not, the way he did it, doesn't matter.
Right.
That's part of all his, God causing all his stuff to turn out for good, because he loves God. He was loyal. He was committed. He ran away from Potiphar's wife. He got laughed at because he said, I believe in God and I won't do these things. And his consistency in holding up his standard got him to be number two man in Egypt.
Right.
Even though he was harassed, he was jailed, he was falsely accused, he was not a mess. It didn't affect him in a way that could have affected him. There's a, you know, he, There's a song, Don't Shoot the Wounded. I've used it before. We're not going to listen to it. It's Chuck, by Chuck Gerard. But in this song, he said, he's talking about how Christians tend to beat themselves up.
Yeah.
You did something naughty, and we'd self-righteously shoot the wounded.
Right.
It says, but one of his lines is, when they commit an offense out of the bound, outside the boundaries that we have set, we judge them in a word and turn them out. Who set the boundaries? We set the boundaries. Don't shoot the wounded. Don't set your own boundaries. What boundaries should we set? This is the boundary. What Joseph did is, you guys meant that you're bad, but God meant it for me. I'm going to go with God. I'm going to trust him that he's in charge. He's still the Lord of everything. And all this mess, as bad as it was, and all the suffering I went through, I end up here at number two. I've been a slave. I've been in a pit. I have been in jail. And I've been beat up by prisoners and other people. And suddenly I find myself number two, because Pharaoh said, I need somebody really smart and wise to take care of this problem. You're the guy. I need God. And all of these are us at different times, at different opportunities, which is, I think, what we have to understand, is that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. We have to see the opportunities. We have to see opportunities. We don't see the troubles. We see the opportunities. Jesus had an opportunity. Even he had to see opportunities, because he said, if there's any way for this to pass from me, take it away. But your will is what I'm going to do. Opportunities. You got to see the opportunity. Okay, so we have Joseph at his time to learn that God does work things out for good. He didn't have the verse, though. None of these people had Romans, but did they have the same God as Romans? They knew the God of Romans, even though they didn't know Romans. They understood God's in control. He takes care of me. I have to respond. I can't react. I have to respond. I have to think. What would God want me to do? There used to be a thing in the 90s. What would Jesus do? Like the little bracelets and then, and everything. They had t-shirts, and I always disliked them. Because it was such a, it was a fad among Christians. And the worst thing that a Christian can do is create fads that sound spiritual. God never wanted spiritual fads or fads that sounded spiritual. He wanted people that were full of the Spirit, doing his work. And in the days that people weren't filled with the Spirit, they had to listen to the Spirit anyway. They worked in a more difficult situation. But they worked. I can't imagine how Joseph felt in reality,
right,
when he looked at his brothers. And what was his, initial
right
reaction? I mean, I think he's entitled to have feelings that have an initial reaction. And then he's got to remember, in his own way, however it works out in his brain, he knows that God works up together for good. He's working these things out because he's seen it. And he's already experiencing the dreams. They're bowing to him. They're listening to his authority. His dreams, they're coming true. They have come true. That's why he's there, because they didn't believe what he was saying. They got jealous. They got jealous because he was the favorite of his dad, and he had a special coat, and he had all these things. And they had the wrong attitude. Somehow that was all good stuff. Somehow. We don't always understand all these things, but he was showing favoritism. Yeah. But each one of us is God's favorite.
There you go. There you go.
He loves you with an eternal love.
That's it.
Is that not favored or what?
That's it.
That's it.
You deserve to die, but you're alive, Simon, waiting to go be with him. How bad is that? How favored is that? We're his favorites, each one. And that's, from a human perspective, there's no way to understand that. But God is perfect. He can have all of us be his favorites, and he treats us all differently as his favorites. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. One more example. I couldn't resist this one. Moses. You gotta have Moses in there. You just can't ignore it. So we have Exodus 3, 4, and 5. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, where am I? And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. His feet were perfectly fine, but his shoes were disgusting. You could read that into that. He didn't have to wash his feet first.
Right.
He had to take off the man-made stuff.
Right.
And approach him without
That's
man-made
very
assistance.
Good.
He came on his own because we have to come on our own. There's nobody that's going to help you get along. You're going to have to crawl over there or run over, however, but you can't use your sprinter spikes or your distance runner's shoes. You got to take off the shoes and come on your own. No assistance. Because there isn't any assistance. God is coming to give you assistance. He's calling him, not, and Moses has no clue what's coming. He's just curious. And remember I said that some of these people didn't even know they loved God? God works out as his plan. He's like, I'm going to do this for those who are, you know, love me and are called according to my... Well, somehow we missed it. Somehow this guy loves him. Where did that come from? He was raised by his mother.
Yeah, mom.
Mom? Well, the Pharaoh's daughter couldn't raise him. She let this unknown nurse raise him. And I think he knew who he was. Mm. He just couldn't talk about who he was. He was also this other thing. But when push came to shove, he defended his people. He killed somebody because they were beating up on people. Somewhere in there, in that mixture, there is enough love that God says, I'm calling you, but it takes some training. He went through 40 years in the desert before he got 40 more years in the desert. You know, he went out and he herded sheep. He defended the ladies. He worked with his father-in-law. And then he said, that's an interesting bush. I see it burning and it's not going away. I think I should look at that. He never said anything about, I wonder if God's there.
Right.
It was a burning bush.
Right.
He was curious about a burning bush. Not very spiritual. But as soon as the bush talked, as soon as the bush spoke to him, he didn't see God. He saw the bush and heard the voice. Take off your shoes. You can't walk around here with your shoes on. My, my, my. Yeah.
That was an amen.
And there's a song that went with this one. Because Moses had a claim to fame. And it wasn't that he led Israel. His claim to fame is that he learned the name for God that nobody else would ever heard.
Right.
Yahweh.
Right.
I am. Who? I need to know what my credentials are when I go and talk to people. They're going to ask me, who said that? I need credentials. We have credentials. We have Jesus. Jesus sends us. We're sent. Yahweh, who is the Word in John 1:1, he's the Creator in Genesis 1:1, that's who sends him. Yahweh.
Right.
It was such a special name that the people were afraid to say it. They always said Lord. God never told them to say that. But they got respect to the point of they didn't know what they were doing anymore after a long time. But Chris Tomlin, who I like, has a song called Famous One. Mm-hmm. He's got a famous one. Mm-hmm. People just choose not to acknowledge him as famous. They say he doesn't count. Israel did that. We want to be free. Okay, I'll set you free. Thank you. Go away. Mm-hmm. And then they end up wandering in the desert for 40 years. And after that, they didn't get any better. It didn't take them long to get in trouble again. They did really good at Jericho, and then they blew it at Ai. And it took them forever to almost conquer the land. They almost did. They never finished. Never. You read the accounts, and it says they fought these people, and they argued with these people because they were supposed to be dead. Why are they not there? That's it. Are they still fighting the same people today? Mm-hmm. You realize all those people are still there. The Arabs are still there. They have moved closer. All those people. Lebanon was around during the time of David. Mm-hmm. Those people are not different. They have hung out because Israel was disobedient.
Right.
They had a famous one. It says, you are the Lord. That's his song. The first line says, you are the Lord, the famous one. Great is your name in all the earth. This is what Moses is going to do. He's got to tell Pharaoh, you're not so great. I'm serving the greatest one. That's it. I mean, how can you get along with Pharaoh if you can say, you're not even number two on the list. You think you're number one. You're not even on the list. I've got this list here, and there's one. And there's nobody else on the list. And that's what he told him. Imagine talking to the man who thinks he's God. Saying, you're not God.
Right.
I'm serving Yahweh. And he says, let my people go. And God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. We're surprised that he loves God, but we aren't surprised that he's called. He's called. He was called barefooted, but he got to do the work with the shoes on.
That's very good.
It's difficult because these people didn't have Romans, and they didn't have the Spirit inside,
right.
And they were required to have the same outcomes as us. They had to have the same outcomes, faith. Abraham saw, he believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness.
Right.
He believed. Moses had troubles, but he believed.
Right.
Noah had troubles. He believed. He believed. However that belief is considered by us, God said, you believe. I'm with you. And that's, I forgot to tell you about that one. The line from Praise in the Storm for Noah, he says, I'm with you. I'm with you. And this one is, you're the famous one. Oh, it's amazing stuff. Because we don't think about it. I spent several weeks not thinking about what I was doing. Like, I just thought I knew. And then I started seeing that I don't know so much. I always do that. It always sits me like, I think I got this one. Nope, you don't got this one. I never had this one. I mean, even last night, I'm still scribbling stuff in and out and deleting stuff, adding stuff.
Yeah.
Because God talks to me until it's time for me to talk.
Mm-hmm.
God talks to you until it's time for you to talk.
Right.
Or do. When it's time, he says, okay, scoot. You know, I kicked my kids out of the house because they were old enough to do. I didn't want them to go out, but you have to get them out there so we can do. So there you go. Do I have another one? Oh, you have another one. Oh, this is one of the more unique ones, I think, because nobody ever thinks about her. It's a lady. Gotta have the ladies in here. God is no respecter of persons. He uses everybody. And she wasn't even sure she wanted to do this. Let's see. Esther, 4:14. Please. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Analysis. If you keep your mouth shut, God's going to do what has to be done in spite of you, but you will miss out, because what if you're here only because you are the one he's chosen to save the Jewish people, your people? What if you're the one? He doesn't tell you you're the one. She didn't know. Her Uncle Mordecai said, hey, you're the one. Act like it. There's a Hidden Figures. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
There's a scene where she's trying to get into the top secret meeting. She doesn't have the clearance. And she tells, says, and who am I? Said, you're the boss. Just act like that. And that's what Mordecai says to her. Says, you're the messenger. Just act like it. Just act like it. But it might cost me my life. Just act like it. She had a lot of things that weren't under her control. She just had to act like what she was supposed to be doing. We have very little control over all the things around us. We just have orders that come and go. As you finish one job, you get another job. Mm-hmm. We don't get to pick. Because I don't think I'd ever rather pick. I think I'd be a bad picker, though. Because we tend to be like rivers. We pick the easier way. We tend to be like rivers. People are basically not nice and lazy. Does God say we have fallen short of the glory of God? We all have sinned and fall short. We have fallen short. And we still have the tendency to fall short. We shouldn't fall short. But we're working that shortness out of us. That's part of what he's saying. I'm working these things out because I called you for a purpose. So, this, you're going to hear a song. And this is one that I thought, this is perfect. Who am I? Esther was saying, who am I? We sometimes say, who am I? So we're going to listen to Who Am I?
Here today and gone tomorrow.
Together for good to them that are that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Five things. God is in control. Why is this more easily true than we usually get it? We forget that God's in control. Why is he making all things work together? Because he's with us. I am with you. I am with you. You can call cause all things to work together for good because we are going to live by his standard, not our own.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. You live with his standard. And things happen because you are the Lord, the famous one. We've got the best. Great is your name in all the earth. Who's better? I don't care what they laugh at, what they say about you or say me. You're the best. We don't always believe that either. And then, you have told me who I am. I am yours. And you know that all things work together for good because we are his.
Yeah.
We are his.
Yeah, there you go.
Jesus. Yeah.
You know when you were talking about in the very beginning of line?
Yeah.
The foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of all the things that have foundations, and of course everything has a foundation.
Right.
But on our girls' night out, I call it girls' night out Bible study, and I'm still in, yes, thank you. And we're building new strongholds. The old one doesn't go away, but it goes, takes another path. And
right.
I realized yesterday that I've built my foundation.
Mm.
It's there, and now I can go on to the next level, and my head is exploding. It's just like, okay, so I can concentrate on, you know, what he's giving me, and know that my foundation is set.
So good.
And now I can go on, and it's just like, I don't know, but everything's getting me, which is good, because I've asked God so much to just please take this away, this stuff that's in my head.
Right.
And we did Romans 2 where it says, renew the mind. And it's just like always thinking, renew the spirit.
Right.
I said, what? Think of that. You know? And so every time this negative stuff comes in, I said, nope, renew the mind. And it's working.
Yes.
It's just like, man, almost scary.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
very powerful.
Yes. Anyway, I wanted to. That's what came across.
That's awesome.
Steve Backlund has a thing on negative,
negativity.
The 40 days.
You're right. They'll be coming up on.
But
that,
yeah, it's it'll be coming in the new year.
Woo!
We'll do that. One of the things that he's reminded me of was that there are things that I know and I set aside.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I ever read through this thing, I read it like before I even taught it. And like, I knew all this stuff. Pretty much I knew these things, but I would kind of set them aside. And sometimes I have to remind myself that there are promises. He deals with promises a lot. We have to remind ourselves of what God has said.
Right.
And I mean, that's what these people that write songs are reminding us. They remind us that I am yours. I'm with you. He says, we don't have to have fears. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. But all those things. It's amazing how, as much as I've read this book, I think I sometimes forget more than I remember.
Yeah.
And when I start remembering it, the Bible.
I thought you were pointing to the other one, but the other one was something in the desert.
Yeah, Streams in the Desert.
Streams in the Desert.
A lady who wrote this in 1925. It's really good. I'm enjoying it. My mother-in-law read it first, and then she gave it to her, and I got her copy, and the pages were coming out of it because it was that old. Being in the family, said, I don't feel good messing up the book. So I gave her her copy back, and I got a new copy just for me, which is the exact same version. No editing, nothing. Difference in hard copy, so I gave it back. Good things I tend to read again. So let me pray. Lord, we are amazed that we are yours. We are sometimes amazed, and we shouldn't be, that you're with us. Help us to more readily jump into the things that you do that cause us to grow, to understand the purposes you've called us to. We thank you that you will remind us. That's why you sent the Spirit in one sense, that to remind us of the things we know and to teach us new things. help us remember the things that we know so that we can use them and learn new things that we can use too. Amen.
Amen.